you will, open your Bible over to John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. Even if we trip up, the angels are there to catch us. Aren't you thankful for that? I know I am. We're gonna begin reading here in a moment in the first verse of John chapter 14. But I just want to remind you, this past Sunday we celebrated Pentecost Sunday here. And Pentecost Sunday, the Feast of Pentecost, is when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It's recorded in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. The followers of Jesus, 120 of them, were there. They were assembled together, had come into one accord. And suddenly, like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came into that place. And he sat upon each of them. So he filled them up, we know from the scripture, until they overflowed with the Holy Spirit. And somehow, 3,000 people saw the commotion. At least 3,000 people saw the commotion. Peter got up and preached, and those 3,000 people were saved that day. So it was a great and mighty day. It was the kickoff of the church. It was the church age started that day. It was the day that really, the mission that you and I live under and that we operate under, the day that it came into its fullness, and it's been going strong since then for 2,000 years. Peter said, what you're seeing here is what Joel the prophet, what he told about. And he said, in the last days, these things would happen. And he said, this is it. This is it. We're seeing it here. This is it. So from that, we know that the last days started 2,000 years ago. So people ask you every once in a while, do you think this is the last days? Absolutely, it's the last days. How do you know? Well, Peter told us in Acts chapter 2, this is that Joel prophesied about when he said in the last days these things would happen. So we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. And some days I wish, you know, that one of the angels would tap God on the shoulder and say, it's the last days. But I think we all know that God has a plan, and he's working his plan. He's working it through his people. And we all want to be part of it. Isn't that right? Several years ago, I can't remember exactly how many, one of my brothers had this great idea for Christmas. My mother's very difficult to buy Christmas presents for. And he had this great idea, and he decided to buy her an iPad for Christmas. So he gave her this iPad, and she was all excited. She had this, you know, great newfangled device, and she's all excited about Christmas. She's beaming, telling everybody, I got an iPad. Did you hear? I got an iPad. It's great. It's awesome. And so Christmas morning, she's all happy and elated about it. We went through, you know, Christmas Day, and that evening, she comes over to the house. You know, she lives with us, but her house is actually a separate dwelling, but very close to our house. So anyway, she comes in the back door, as she often does, and she comes in, and I said, so, what do you think? Are you liking your new iPad? She looked at me, and she said, well, you know, it's over there. It's great. It's great. I love it. I love it. It's great, but it's over there sitting on the table. You know, I really don't know what to do with it. I'm not even sure how to turn it on. And I just laughed and laughed, because here she's got this really great gift. And at that time, the iPads were pretty new, and not everybody had one. And it was kind of an exciting thing to get one. And here she is, and she has this great gift. It's the latest technology, and somebody entrusted her with it. That's a marvel in itself. And here she is, and she's very excited about it, but she has no idea what to do with it. And it's of little to no use for her. You know, so I think she's using it as a paperweight about that moment. And you know, there it is. And so over time, you know, through coaxing and coaching and just her own curiosity, she started messing with it and learning some things. And we helped her set up her email on it, showed her how to message. That was, you know, not a good thing to get her on iMessaging, because she's got all the comments all the time on the messages. But anyway, so we have that going. And so now she's like, she just uses it all the time. It's all, you know, seems normal to her. She has her Bible on it, looks up scriptures, does all kind of study on it. But, you know, I'm thinking that when we talked about the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, it reminded me of the fact that there's a lot of Christians, now hopefully not you, but there are a lot of Christians that they're excited that the Holy Spirit has come. They're excited that they've received the Holy Spirit. They're excited that, you know, when they were called on the name of the Lord and they were saved, Jesus, the Bible says no one can call Jesus Lord except, you know, the Holy Spirit gives them, you know, the ability to do that. So we know that the Holy Spirit came inside of every person who's born again. So the Holy Spirit's in there. And there's even some people who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, where he fills you up to your overflowing. But they're still like my mom was with the iPad. It was great. It's awesome. I'm really excited about it. But I really don't know much about it. it's really not benefiting me that much. You know, I'm really excited. I'm glad I have it. Surely appreciative of it. But as far as using it, utilizing it, and bringing it in, and it being part of my life, and something that's really indispensable, and something that I'm, you know, going to, and that's helping me, and making my life better, and something that I can utilize, and really, you know, integrate into my life, that's not really happening. And that's where a lot of Christians are. That's where a lot of believers are when it comes to the Holy Spirit. They're kind of like the guy at Ephesus that said, whether there be a Holy Spirit. Was that you talking about that on Sunday? Or maybe Harry? Eddie? I don't know. Somebody's talking about that read that or referred to that scripture in Acts where they said, we haven't even heard as much as there is a Holy Spirit. And there's some believers that are in that category. They've heard about Jesus and how he died on the cross for their sins. They've heard about that, and they have some notion of God, the Father, the Creator, but they don't know much about the Holy Spirit. I remember a number of years ago, Benny Hinn wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Any of y'all ever heard of that book? I know many of you have. You're just not raising your hand. I'm not going to call on you to give us a summary of it, but many of you know it's a very popular book. And a lot of people, even denominations that didn't necessarily believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of them, people were curious, and they would buy the book to find out, what is this about the Holy Spirit? There was kind of a surge sort of in our Christian culture of interest in the Holy Spirit, and people started looking into it and finding out about it. I thought that was a good thing, that people are curious. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's pretty important in his work. It's not like a little side thing over here. It's not like just something that, you know, if you are involved with the Holy Spirit, or you relate to him in some way, or he's active in your life, that's all good for you. That's never the way it was meant to be. And so tonight, I wanted to just go over some scriptures. We're just going to go through the scripture starting in John chapter 14 and verse 1. I'm just going to read through the scriptures, and we're going to talk about them as we go through. And I'm going to read in the New Living Translation here, but this passage is from what we call the Last Supper. It was the last meal that Jesus shared. It was the first day of the Feast of Pentecost. But it was the last meal that Jesus shared with his followers before he went to the cross. And so he was giving them sort of the final instructions before he went and gave himself as the sacrificial lamb. And he told them some stuff that night. And so I want to go through that, because a lot of what he said had to do with the Holy Spirit. So let's begin reading in verse 4, in verse 1. Jesus is talking to them, and he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. And Thomas said, no, we don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? That's always Thomas. He's always just telling it, isn't he? In verse 6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. I mean, these guys, every time I read through here, it really gives me hope for all of y'all and myself. It gives me great hope. In verse 9, Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. I tell you the truth, that anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Well, that's a good verse, right? Y'all getting this? It's good sometimes just to read in a translation you don't read in every day and just read and let Jesus talk to you. Verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Then he goes on and says in verse 15, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Now this word is the Greek, in the Greek is that word paraclete. And it is another advocate who will never leave you. And we know from our study, and many times we've talked about this, the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. And that advocate, the Paraclete that he is one who's called alongside us to help us. Now, these first 14 verses are not unrelated to verse 15. When, in fact, just three verses earlier, Jesus said, "He who believes in me will do the same works I've done." The reason that he was so confident that he could say to this group of misfits, who among them were doubters and clueless ones, the reason he could say to them that you're going to do the works that I do and greater works is because he knew what he was about to say here concerning the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. He goes on and says, he is the Holy Spirit, this Advocate. He'll never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Let's just talk for a little bit about these verses here. Jesus is telling them essentially this. You know the Holy Spirit. The reason you're going to know him is because he's been with you all this time. And I know them. It doesn't tell us this, but I know when he said that, they were going, where? Where is he? But he was with them. How was he with them? He was with them because he was on Jesus. Y'all remember when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus when he was baptized in water, and then as he rose, the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove, the Bible says, remember? So the Holy Spirit had been with them all the time. But they didn't recognize him for who he was. They just saw Jesus, and they saw the works that he did, and they saw what accompanied him, and just attributed that all to Jesus. But in this moment, Jesus is sort of bringing a differentiation between him and the work of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, up until this time, they just thought of everything as Jesus. But now he's saying, Jesus, as he goes on, he's going to tell us in a minute that he's leaving. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are actually, although they are one, they are two. And we know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three, but yet they're one. Well, he's saying in this, he's talking about the Father. The Father is one, I'm one, and then there's this Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, again, the Greek word Paraclete, the one who's called alongside to help, is the one that the Father sent to help Jesus in his earthly ministry. And y'all remember in Luke 4, Jesus got up in front of the congregation there that day to read, and he said to them, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Y'all remember after he was baptized, this is from Luke 4. It was the first sermon that Jesus gave in the synagogue. And he just stood up and read verses. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he's anointed me, or he's rubbed on me, or come upon me. The Spirit of the Lord. So there was something different. The Holy Spirit is something different than Jesus, but yet they're one. They're all God. But he's a separate entity, but yet the same. But he had come upon Jesus and had empowered Jesus to do great works. And then Luke 4, Jesus lists what those works were. That's setting the captives free, binding up broken hearts. Y'all remember this? Opening blind eyes, proclaiming liberty. Remember these things? Preaching the gospel. This is all part of what the Holy Spirit did with Jesus. Well, now he's saying to them, before he departs, he's bringing this to the forefront, and he's saying, this is something you guys need to know about, because he knew he was going to leave. He's talking to them about leaving. I'm going on. I'm going to where God's preparing a place. I'm going to go up there and help them get it ready. There's something happening, but the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he tells us a couple of things. He's not going to leave us. That's why you and me never need to pray and say, God, you know, be with us. Never need to pray, God, be with us. Because God, by his Holy Spirit, is always with us. And we know from what the scripture says in Hebrews, he never leaves us. Thank God. He never forsakes us. Even when you're just got a dirty, rotten attitude and you're acting all ugly, using ugly words, just being profane, sinning, he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Isn't that good? Holy Spirit. Some people think they've made the Holy Spirit so mad and he's run off. He's not mad and run off. It says, Jesus said he's never going to leave you. Holy Spirit's here. You can't make him so mad that he'll run off. Now, you may not hear from him a lot. That's because you get dull and you don't hear, but he doesn't leave you. I had somebody not long ago, I got an email from somebody and they said, what do you do when it seems like, you know, that God's far away and you're just all alone and you can't hear from God and he's so distant and you're just in this dry spell. And I understood what they were saying, but everything they said was completely unscriptural. Because we all have moments where we may feel far from God, but it isn't the truth. I mean, I have to tell you, Matt and I just celebrated two Wednesdays ago? Yeah. We celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. So we've been married 30 years and 2 weeks. And I have to be honest, during that 30 years and 2 weeks, now y'all don't listen, I know y'all just celebrated your first anniversary. You may not have experienced this, so you just pass right on by this. Don't pay me no mind. But I will admit that in the last 30 years and 2 weeks, mostly, probably not the first 2 weeks, but in the last 30 years, there have been moments where I didn't feel very married. There were some moments I was kind of wishing I wasn't. At least not to him. But you know what? I was married. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And I'm married. Whether I felt like it or not. He was there, and that was the deal. And so though we have emotions sometimes, we have to believe what the Word says. The Word is higher than our emotions. What the Bible says is greater than how I feel, and it is the truth. And my emotions can be wacky, and so can yours, but my feelings don't determine what the reality is. The truth is the truth, and it's the truth. And my feelings, they'll change. So that really wasn't part of the teaching, but that'll help you. Some of you might need that tonight. You don't have to, you know, think, God, where are you? He's here. He's with you. And verse 17 says, He, the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. Now, this is a really good point because we know from the scripture, we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible talks about the God of this world, God little g, which we know to be Satan. He is the God little g of this world, meaning he's in control of this world system. We know from the scripture, from the revelation of the scripture, we know that his number one tactic that he uses is deception. He is, the Bible calls him the deceiver, that deceiver of old. He is a deceiver. That he is the father of lies, the Bible says. So he's a deceiver. And deception is all his idea. It's where he operates. He takes the truth and he perverts it. Just like he did, the very first thing he did when he approached man in the garden is he was saying to man, you know, God's holding out on you. God had told him, don't eat of the fruit. And he says to them just point blank, you surely will not die. That was a lie. But Eve, the Bible says, was deceived. And he's still using the same tactic against mankind today. Deception. So I can't warn you, you know, enough. I can't caution you enough that you and me have to be vigilant and we have to be on guard against deception, because deception is incredibly prevalent on planet Earth. Deception. In fact, most things that we look out into the world and see is nothing but a facade. It's deception. There's very little truth, really. If you could see how things, if you could really bring the truth out on the planet, in the world, the way people think, what people believe, if you really could shine the light and see the actual truth, there's very little truth, and it's mostly deception. And the whole world lies in darkness, the Bible says. Apostle John told us the whole world lies in darkness. It's under the sway of the wicked one, and he uses deception to sway people. That's why this verse is so wonderful, because the Holy Spirit The Amplified calls him the truth-giving spirit. We have the Word, thy Word is truth, and we have the Holy Spirit to give us the truth. Now see, just like my mom had that iPad that had these great features on it that she never, you know, she didn't know how to tap into, this one thing, so often believers fail to tap into the fact that the Holy Spirit is the truth-giving spirit, that He is the truth, that He gives you the truth, that He leads you and guides you into all the truth. Boy, if that was the only benefit of the Holy Spirit, if that was the only thing He brought, believe me, that in itself is more than enough, because He brings the truth, and that's what we need, because everything else is a lie. Telling y'all, if you just stop and think about that. It's kind of a big thought to handle this time of day on a Wednesday. But you just think about it. Think about all the thoughts that were thought in all the minds in the world today. How many of them were based in deception? But the truth-giving spirit, He's with us. So we got to tap into that. Says the world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him. It doesn't recognize Him. No wonder it doesn't recognize Him. They're deceived. But you know Him because He lives with you now. And later, He's talking about when the day of Pentecost comes, later He will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Now that's interesting because He's saying to them, I'm going to leave. And then He's saying, the world's not going to see me, but you're still going to see me. How is it that we can see Jesus, but the world can't see Him? We see Him because of the Holy Spirit. We can see Him because of the Holy Spirit. That's important too. We'll come back to that in a minute. And He says, since I live, you will also live. And when I'm raised to life again, you will know that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Now I love this. In the New King James, it says, I will come and manifest myself to them. Remember a moment ago, I just said that the world won't see me, but you're going to see me. And then He says here, I'm going to reveal myself to you. Now listen, Jesus physically walked on planet Earth 2,000 years ago, but He's not physically here walking on Earth today. But you and me can still see Him, and in fact, He will still reveal Himself and manifest Himself to His people today. Now you and me, as believers, as Christians, as people who've received the Holy Spirit, you and me should be receiving an ongoing manifestation of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that a lot of times you think, well, there's spirit things and then there's physical things, and we, you know, and so faith, it's in the unseen realm, and you know, you just have to take things by faith, and so you just trust, but it's almost kind of like, you know, just something that happens in this place that's imperceivable, you know, that we can't feel it or touch it or taste it. And it's just, we gotta believe something we don't experience. But over and over in the scripture, we see that God revealed Himself in this physical realm. And then we see Him say, Jesus said things like this, like, I want you to see me. You're gonna see me. The world's not gonna see me, but you're gonna see me. See, we're always wanting the world to see Jesus, and we don't even see Him. Maybe if we saw Him, we could show the world Jesus if we saw Him first. But we're always like, God, you could just show up. You could throw some fire down. You could do something. You could come in a whirlwind. Where is the burning bush when I need it? This is our attitude. Instead of realizing that He wants to manifest Himself to us. And then through us, manifest Him to the world. But the world won't know it's Jesus. They'll think it's us with the Holy Spirit on us, which is what it'll be, but it's Jesus, because we're in Him. But let me just say to you tonight that God wants to manifest Himself. Jesus wants to manifest Himself to you. And let me just be really plain by what I mean. He wants you to experience Him for yourself. And it's not just metaphorical that all the things the scripture says about him coming and manifesting himself to you. It's not just some kind of thing out there. He literally wants you to experience him, for him to impact you spiritually and to in fact, and really impact you in your soul, in your mind, in your thinking. And he wants to impact you in your body. How many of you have ever felt the power of God in your body? Well, you know, this is something that believers should experience. You should experience God in your body. You should experience God not only on your body, but flowing through your body. He wants to manifest himself to you. He wants his peace to come on you and his presence to come on you to the point that it just drives out worry and care and all of those things that weighed us down and lift those things away from us. And he wants to come on you and manifest his goodness to such an extent that your joy is just overflowing. He wants you to live that way where it impacts your bodies. I think one reason that many believers are sick and, you know, live in lives of sickness is because they never have any manifestation of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in their bodies. It's just like, you know, there's the Holy Spirit. He's over there. He's something we talk about at church. But then there's me and I don't really have any experience with him. I believe that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, he had an impact through Jesus, right? When Jesus ministered to people, there was a noticeable change in people. I believe that shows his physical presence on Jesus. But y'all remember Peter, the Bible talks about in Acts, those first few chapters of Acts, that it was when Peter would walk down the street, they bring the sick out. So if Peter's shadow if they got close enough to him that the shadow would fall, they were close enough to feel the Spirit of God on Peter. When Jesus said, you'll be endued with power from on high, when he was talking about the Holy Spirit coming, he used the word endued. That word endued literally means you'll be clothed with power. So it's not just talking about something on the inside of you. He's talking about something on the outside of you. And I'm not being hooky spooky tonight. I'm just telling you the reality. We haven't thought much of any of this. We don't really think much of this. We don't really meditate on it. We don't talk about it that much. But God's power in his presence is supposed to be upon us. He came up on us. And they saw it and they heard it on the day of Pentecost. And people today who have been filled with and flooded with the Holy Spirit and he has come up on them, we should be able to see it and perceive it. We should expect that. We should be clothed with his power. You don't wear your clothes on the inside of your body. So it's not just on the inside of you. He did say, I'm going to fill you up. But then Jesus said, you'll be endued or clothed with power from on high. That means he comes up on you and you wear him. He's on you. And the word anoint, when Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, that word means to rub on and to smear into. Like, it's the same word that if you went and you had a spa treatment and they were going to slather you down with oils, you would spend your hour getting anointed. They'd be rubbing on you and smearing into you. They don't reach their hand down your throat. They rub on the outside of you. And that's what the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, he rubs himself on you and smears himself into you so that just your very presence as you move through the earth, as you move through your life, as you go to work, as you go to the store, that you're clothed with the Holy Spirit himself. That's one reason you don't have to be afraid of whatever may come in the earth, because you're clothed with the Holy Spirit. So to get to you, it's got to go through the Holy Spirit. But we don't believe in that. We think about the Holy Spirit maybe when we go to church. And we hear somebody down the road speaking in our tongues. We're like, oh, yeah, I'm spirit-filled. I forgot about that. Or maybe when we get in a really pressure-filled situation and you throw out a few hikimoshundais. Oh, yeah, thank God I got the Holy Ghost for that. I'm telling you, that's so low. That's not where Jesus lived. He was clothed and empowered by the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. And that's what he's trying to say to them. You're going to be doing what I did because you're going to have the same benefit, the same Holy Spirit. He's coming with you. He's coming alongside. Interesting again, paraclete doesn't mean one called inside to help. I mean, I ponder that sometimes. Why is the meaning of paraclete one called alongside to help, not one called inside to help? That's very interesting. It's this idea that he wants to impact us, not just from the inside, but he wants to impact the outside. Y'all? He wants to impact us. He wants to live on us. Our bodies are the temple of the living God, but we just try to keep him down inside there, but he wants to dwell upon us. Remember how the Bible says where there's two or three gathered together, I am there in the midst of them? Not just I am there in each of them. Could have said that. I am there in each of them. But no, if he is clothing me, he's filled me to overflowing, he's clothing me, and he's filled Carol till she's overflowing, and he's clothing her, and filled Eddie till he's overflowing, and he's clothing Eddie, and then we're together. See, there's not just inside of us, he's here among us. Now, here's the really awesome thing, is when there's the three of us, and he's here in our midst, and you walk up. Guess what you walked into? You didn't just walk into three people who had God living in them. You see that? We together, he creates something with us that it's almost like a huge puddle of his presence that you can come into. And you can receive, you can be refreshed, you can find peace, you can find joy. It'll fill the atmosphere where it is. In the Old Testament, we see when the Spirit of God came into, and you know, these are people God couldn't live in, so the only way they could experience him was from the outside. They weren't worthy because of their sin nature for God to live within them, so he could come on the outside of them. At times. And the Bible talks about when the priest would be ministering and that there would be a cloud that would roll in and it would fill the place where they were. Fill up the place. Well, if he could come and fill up the place where they were under the old covenant, they were estranged from God, enemies of God, the Bible says. How much more can he manifest himself to people like you and me that have been washed in his own precious blood? Cleansed from all sin and unrighteousness. He's moved into us and he's poured his Spirit out upon us. How much more? Just admit it, you hadn't even thought about any of this today, have you? Hope you think about it some tomorrow. All right, let's just keep reading. Talking about the Holy Spirit and what this whole big deal of the Holy Spirit coming is. It's lots of really rich and wonderful stuff here. I have no idea where I quit reading. What verse is that? 21. All right. Those who accept my commandments, obey them, are the ones who love me, and because they love me, yeah, I've read that, and he will reveal. Okay, verse 22. We're into Judas, not as Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, unfortunate fellow that he was. He said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? And Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come. And we will make our home with each of them. I want to just stop right there. By the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes and makes his home with us. Now, I don't know who you live with. Maybe you live alone. But I live with several people at different times. There's lots of people there. Never know who might be living there at any given moment. I'm going to have some people from Saudi Arabia living there before the month's over. Who knows what's going to be happening. But when people live with you, you see them. When people live with you, they come and they go, you talk to them. Oftentimes, I think of my life as a stage in a theater. And it seems like I'm here, I'm the main player on the stage, and that somebody enters from stage left, and they come in, and they interact with me, and somebody will enter stage right, and they'll interact, and then they exit stage left, and that person's there, and then oftentimes that's what it seems like at my house. It's all these people entering and exiting, and I'm there. We make our home together. We talk, we fellowship, we share, we eat together, we sleep together. We see each other at our worst, we see each other at our best, we play, we sing together, we pray together, we get in each other's business. If you're on the phone, everybody else in the room is trying to talk to the person on the phone. It's so aggravating. I can't even talk to them because everybody's telling me what to tell the person on the phone. Do y'all do that at your house? They do that at my house. Just like, leave me alone. You just have to go, like, go out in the woods. Literally, you go to the woods to talk on the phone. It's the only way you can have any peace in your conversations. You're as bad as the rest. That's what we do. Tell them this. Do this. What'd they say? I don't know what's going on. We live together. The Holy Spirit wants to come and live with us. Now, we, in the King James, the scripture reads, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it uses the words Holy Ghost. Y'all remember that? I remember when I was at ORU as a student, or Roberts University back in the 80s, I remember there came a decision from the higher-ups that no longer were we going to use the words Holy Ghost in our campus, you know, in our classrooms or in chapel. You remember this? Because the words Holy Ghost seemed a little bit scary. So we were now going to move over, and this was not long, this is around the time the New King James Version of the Bible came out. And so we transitioned over to the more friendly Holy Spirit, because Holy Ghost was kind of scary. So now we're going to call him the Holy Spirit. But if people understood where Holy Ghost came from, they wouldn't have been scared at all. Because that word came from the original description of the Paraclete when they called him the Holy Guest. Now, over time, that word got, as we do with words, got changed around, and we called him the Holy Ghost. But he was never the Holy Ghost. He was called the Holy Guest. And the early church called him, referred to him as the Holy Guest. Now, if we started thinking of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Guest, that and that he lives with us, it would change our behavior. It would change the way we talk. It'd change our attitude. It'd change a lot of things. If we were aware that the Holy Guest was with us, he was here. He's always with us. He's a guest at our house. You know, you probably, at your house, you probably act a little better, dress a little better, a little more, you know, a little more manners are used when the guest is there. Well, when the Holy Guest is present at every meal, when he's, you know, there every morning, if he meets you in the morning, he's there with you all days. He's there, you know, with you when you're in the living room and you're flipping through the channels. There's some channels you won't land on and stay on because the Holy Guest is with you. Isn't that right? He's the Holy Guest in your life. If we thought of him that way, he lives with us and he's our Holy Guest in our lives. How, I'm telling you, just that one thing would help you, you know, forsake some sin. He's a Holy Guest. And you know, when you have a guest, it's rude to not acknowledge him. If we recognize that he's with us, he's living with us, he's living among us, he's real. He's not a theory. He's not something we read about in a book. He's not somebody that lives over at the church that we go visit once or twice a week. See, that's what some people think about. Y'all have heard Matt's story many times about when he'd go to church, and it seemed like there was a 900-foot Jesus. There was this huge Jesus statue in his church when he was growing up, and he spent a lot of his childhood staring up at that statue, and he was afraid. And he was probably really glad to get out of there when the service was over. And when he came in, he's like, oh, he's looking at me again. Well, the Holy Guest is always with us, but he's no one to fear. He's only there to help. He's only there to aid and support and strengthen, to comfort, to stand by, to be your advocate, give you good advice. And he's there. Hallelujah. And we don't go to visit him. He's with us always. Isn't that awesome? But if he's with you, you should acknowledge him, because it's rude to be with somebody and not acknowledge him. You ever been in a group of people and they just don't acknowledge you? You're standing there and it's almost like you want to go, "Hey! Me! I'm here!" I know some of you introverts, you particularly, you probably welcome that. Well, I hate that. And I've learned, if you don't acknowledge me, I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to say my word. So there you are, and he's living there with you, and you don't even give him the time of day. You don't even speak to him. You know, that's where the title of that book that Benny Hinn wrote, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. The whole idea was, the Holy Spirit's with us. We should acknowledge him. Just, good morning, Holy Spirit. You're real. You're here with us. You're among us. Let's just be aware of you. I think it was Brother Andrew that wrote the book years ago. So classic Christian book called Practicing the Presence of God. And the whole notion of the book is just to continuously throughout your day, day in, day out, to acknowledge that God is there and to take time to be aware of him. And to not just think of God as someone that you pray to when you have a problem, or somebody that you have a little devotional with a few minutes a day, or somebody you go down to the church and visit, but to recognize he's the guest that's always with you, and that you should commune with him and fellowship with him and talk to him and listen to him all through the day, just like you would your closest friend if they were spending the whole weekend with you. They were with you. Y'all had the special weekend and it was just the two of you, and you were together. You would acknowledge them, listen to them. You'd look forward to spending time with them. You'd get up in the morning, you'd say, "Good morning." Isn't that what you would do? You'd have that fellowship. That's what we could all should be doing with the Holy Spirit. Y'all, we've been missing out. We've been missing out on precious fellowship. And really, the truth is, what Jesus did for us in making us right with God, the greatest benefit of being right with God is that God lives in us and that he's with us and he lives on us. Y'all, that's the biggest benefit. It's not that we get to go to heaven when we die. We make that to be the biggest benefit. The biggest benefit is what Paul talked about when he said, to know him. This is my one aim, to know him. That's the greatest benefit of our salvation. And the way that we know God is by his word and through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Just being aware of him and talking to him. I just got a couple minutes, so we won't read any more. We only made it 23 verses, y'all. The greatest, really, privilege of your life is that all day, every day, God is with you by his Spirit. He communes with you. He's warning you. The Bible, if we kept reading, we'd see where he leads us and guides us into all the truth. So thank God for that. And he shows us things to come. He prepares us. Boy, how many times in our lives has he prepared us for something and we didn't even know he was preparing us for anything? And then we get in the middle of something and we're like, whoa, whoa. Thank God that I was prepared for this. It was the Holy Spirit. Man, he was showing you. He was helping you. Oh my goodness. All the times that he's just in the nick of time. Boy, you missed something really tragic because the Holy Spirit was there and he was holding you up a moment. He was keeping you from being right in the middle of a big mess. He warns us about things. He shows you something that you aren't seeing. With these eyes, it looks great, but the Holy Spirit's going, no, 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 no. It's not what it appears. How many times he says, go this way. This is a good way. Well, that way doesn't look so good. No, 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 no. I know. I've been down that way. I see the end. Go this way. And you go like, I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to go this way. And people around you are going, you're crazy. You're crazy. And you're like, I know it seems crazy, but you walk that way, and lo and behold, when you get down there, the Holy Spirit was right. He makes you look so much smarter than you ever were. He shows you things to do. It's the Holy Spirit. But that's not just because you come to prayer, you know, during the daily prayer and you sit and you pray for an hour and then, well, I did that. Now the Holy Spirit, you know, he needs to tell me something. No, that's just practicing for what we should be doing all day in our lives, which is just acknowledging him and listening to him and just ever aware of his presence and that he's the guest that's with us all the time. Just that one thing, if you would just be aware of him, just that one thing, that could just dramatically change your life. He's not just your, you know, get out of hell free card. He's not just your, you know, pull me to safety, you know, Jesus take the wheel, God. He's always with you. And he wants to have that intimate fellowship. And he wants to talk to you about things. He wants to show you another perspective. He wants to give you the real truth of what's going on, but he also wants you to see way beyond what these eyes can see. He wants you to see something you just can't even imagine and paint a picture for you that you could never dream up, and he wants to paint that out in your life and it become reality as he works with you and lead you to it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. No wonder Jesus said in later verses, it's better for you that I leave. Hey, it's been good, guys. It's been a good run these 3.5 years. But hey, something better's coming. The Father's going to send you the greatest gift. Oh my goodness. He's sending you the same Spirit you've seen on me. He's coming on you. And you're going to be like me. Everything you've seen me do 3.5 years, you're going to be out doing it. He's going to abide with you. He's going to make his home with you. He's going to dwell with you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to lead you into the truth. He's going to equip you. He's going to help you just like you've seen him helping me. And man, oh man, it's going to be good for you. That's what we got, y'all. Thank God for Pentecost. Let's stand. Father, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Let's stand, if you will. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who has come. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Guest who's with us, who lives among us, who lives within us, who lives upon us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that Jesus himself manifests himself to us, and he does it by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That we may know you. Hallelujah. I ask you, Father, for all of us, that we'd have a greater intimacy by the Holy Spirit, we would have greater intimacy with you, that we would know you better, that we would see more plainly, that the truth would be revealed to us in a greater way, that we'd see into the future, Father, what we need to see. Hallelujah. We'd see the plotting, crafty plans of the enemy, and we'd be able to avoid those. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And Father, I pray for all the people associated with Good News Church, that all of us, that the eyes of our understanding will be flooded with light, and that the knowledge of your will, Father, that would come first and foremost in our thinking, and we would all see the Holy Spirit, his work in us and through us and upon us, and we would just grow and grow and grow in our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Father, may this church and may this body of believers, Father, may we be people of the Word and of the Spirit. People who know the Holy Spirit intimately for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.